But I want to get into the Word this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis 29. We'll spend most of the time there this morning. I don't read the Word of God to get messages. I read the Word of God because I love the Word of God. But every now and then a message will pop up and I go, whoa, thank you, Lord. That's great. And the other day I was just reading along and I read this passage of scripture and I was going to go ahead, you know, because it's my daily Bible reading. You know, I've got the guide. I've got to get it in there, you know. It's like the Holy Spirit said, stop and look at this again because there's some powerful things I want to show you. And so today in Genesis 29:31, it says, when the Lord saw, everybody say Saul. Saul. I can't help it. I got to tell a joke. Can I tell a joke? A guy walked up to the door, knocked on the door, said, look, man, can you help me? I'm hungry. I hadn't had any food in 3 or 4 days. Can you help me? He said, well, you see that wood out there? He said, no, I don't see that wood. The guy said, I saw you see that wood. He said, you might have saw me see that wood, but you ain't going to see me saw that wood. I'm sorry. I had to do that. But he says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. I want to do a little background on this. We all know the story about Jacob. He worked for his father-in-law 7 years for Rachel. But when he woke up the next morning after the marriage, he was married to Leah. And he said, I don't know. Be honest with you, it couldn't happen to a better person because there was not a better supplanter and deceiver than Jacob. And so now he got a little taste of his own medicine. But, you know, really, he had been living there for 7 years. He should have known the culture when Laban, explained it to him. We can't give the youngest without first giving the oldest. He knew the culture. But he worked 7 more years for Rachel. And the problem was he didn't love Leah. And she felt unloved. And yet, even when she felt unloved, the Word says God saw her condition, that she felt unloved. The word here for unloved can be translated as strong to say she felt hated, unloved. She felt set against. The word, I want you to see that Leah felt unloved, unfulfilled, and unproductive, and that the circumstances had been set against her. Now, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in this room today, but I've come today with a word of encouragement because there's always times that the enemy tried to scream in our voice, you're unloved, you're unwanted, and you're unproductive. And there are times in our lives that we do self-evaluation. Self-evaluation can be good at times, but sometimes it can be very detrimental because if we're not careful, we can get down on ourselves and we don't realize that God's wanting us to understand. And everybody, sometime in their life, has felt unwanted. Or maybe you just don't feel like you fit in. Or maybe you feel like I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. I want you to understand something this morning. God's going to take you from a place of not where you feel not enough to more than enough. I want you to understand it. And we can see that in the principle of God's Word. There are circumstances in our lives that try to scream at us that we are simply not enough. Now, I'm 69 years old, and I've been in ministry for 50 years, and there have been times in my life where the enemy's trying to say, man, you're not accomplishing anything. And if I believe that lie, thank God for the lady the other day when you were looking up those records, because that just reminds you that even when you don't see what's going on, your life is much more productive than you realize. And so here's Leah. She sees that she feels unloved. She saw that she was unwanted by her husband. And yet, in that situation, God saw. Those are powerful words. Because even a time when the enemy tries to make you feel less than enough, and I'm just going to focus on less than enough right now because I feel that's where the Spirit is going. When you feel less than enough, the worst thing you can do is compare yourself with someone else. Jesus didn't call us to run this race by looking at other people. He called us to run this race by looking to Him and let every other people fulfill the ministry God's called them to do. But you need to know something. God wants to make you productive. And in that culture, as offensive as it is to this present culture, and don't get me started on that, in that culture, a woman's worth was seen in her production or her childbearing. And to not have children would make her feel less than enough. And to complicate that, she didn't feel loved by her husband, and everyone needs to feel loved by their spouse. And so when God saw it, he saw her rejection. He saw her feeling of insufficiency. So what did he do? He did something about it. What's the scripture said? When he saw she was unloved, he made her productive. When he saw that she felt unloved, she made her feel fruitful and become fruitful in her life. That's the same thing in the Christian culture. If we're not reproducing ourselves and others, then we'll feel less than enough. So the secret to overcoming that is to become productive and start reproducing yourself, because everybody needs to know Jesus. And every one of us need to be involved in reproducing ourselves. So the way God overcomes these emotions of inadequacy is to bring us to a place of fruitfulness and new life that we experience. Now that's the introduction. So let's go to the scripture that really spoke to me the other day. That's the background. Genesis 29, 32 through 35. He made her productive, and when she started producing children, she named these children. How many know that names in the Bible mean something? Right? They mean something. Now, we name people because whatever's popular and all that, our babies and stuff. I was born in 1953, the year of our Lord. Amen. I know y'all, some can't remember back that far, but I was named, and some young people are not going to get this. I'm telling you what, you are not going to get this. I love you, but you're not going to get this. I was named Roy Jean. I'm named after Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. That's right. Just the older people are laughing because they know. I got a good friend of mine in Evansville, Indiana, Pastor Rick Van Hoos. He came preach for me one time, and he was talking about the importance of names in the Bible. He said, my name's Ricky Dane, don't mean a thing, you know. But it meant something in the scripture. When they named people, it had significance. Now look at this. It says, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. So she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. That's what she's after. She's after the love of God and the love of her husband. Then she conceived again and bore a son. Because the Lord had heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Anytime the enemy starts telling you that you're not enough, there are some things that's revealed in this scripture that'll help us transition from not enough to more than enough. Then we realize that productivity and fruitfulness in our life is so important that we must reproduce ourselves. So there are keys found in this scripture here, I believe, that will make that transition possible. When I'm feeling less than enough, I've got to believe. You start with believing that God wants you to sense that you're more than enough. Why? Because the scripture says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved him and gave himself for us. Now, if we don't believe that, we're going to have those feelings of inadequacies and insufficiency. But once we realize that we are what we are by the grace of God, and that we can boldly confess we're more than conquerors, we'll begin to see this transition take place where we realize, not in an arrogant way or a boastful way, but in a praise way unto God, that we realize that God's taken us from less than enough than more. Am I talking to anybody at Columbia, Kentucky? I just wonder, I mean, names in the Bible are important. So Leah gives her children these names to point us to this process of change, the keys, so to speak, that will unlock those negative emotions of not enough. These names represent important keys to apply to our lives and to transition again from not enough to more enough. Her first son's name is Reuben, and it means this. Now, we already saw this. The Lord saw that she was unloved. But she named Reuben because it means the Lord has seen my affliction. Simply put, the Lord sees. See, until you become aware of that and you start listening to these accusations of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, if you don't become aware that God sees, then you'll find yourself in a pity party. Oh, he was doing really good till he started that mess. And I've often said pity parties are the poorest attended parties. Normally, you're the only one who shows up. But see, she realized something. In giving birth to Reuben, I want you to give birth to some things here this morning that'll make you productive in the kingdom of God. And number one is, you have to be aware that he is aware. You say, well, that's simple. Yeah, it's simple. But how many times do we go through life trying to fight our own battles and forget the fact that he's aware of where we are? I'm not going through anything that God's not aware of. Sherry and I have gone through some tremendous struggles in our lives, tremendous obstacles in our lives. And the thing we always reminded each other is this. We know this. We may not understand this. We may not understand these negative feelings. We may not understand this sense of not being enough. But I know one thing. God is aware of it. God sees you right where you are. And that just gives you faith. I'm in a difficult situation, but I can take peace and joy in knowing that God's aware of my situation. How many know nothing you're facing has taken God by surprise? And please know this, the circumstances you think that makes him unaware is the very circumstances that he's concerned about because he loves you. Your circumstances will change, but God will never change. And the important truth is the God who never changes sees me in my circumstance that will eventually change. Did anybody tell y'all I'm Pentecostal? I might throw a little fit here in a minute. There's just something about just settling yourself and saying, okay, he's aware. He sees. So she named her first son Reuben. In fact, if you go back to the very Exodus, you know why God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? It says in Exodus, I have seen the oppression of my people by the Egyptians. How many know they may have doubted at times that God was even aware of their slavery, but there was not one stripe laid on their back that he wasn't aware of and he wasn't compassionate about, and he saw them in their bondage. He sees you right where you are. Secondly, she names her second son Simeon because she says, the Lord has heard that I am unloved. He's not only aware of my situation, but he hears me when I call to him. You have not because you ask not. Now, nobody here in Columbia, Kentucky will do that, but some people glory in their tribulation because it draws attention from other people. Oh, my Lord, did I say that out loud? When I get older, I say things, and I just... They enjoy the attention of other people rather than experiencing the deliverance of God. And what God is saying, until you come to that, you'll never feel more than enough as long as you're relishing the problem you're in so you can gather attention from people. But I don't want attention from people. A lot of times, Sherry and I go through things and nobody knows but us, because I don't care if you know. I just want to make sure he knows. And I want to, and when she said, I want to crawl out to him. In fact, in Exodus, again, we go back to that reference. It says, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. Have you talked to him about it? Have you talked to him about it? Cry out to him. He says, I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So what does he say? I've seen, I'm aware, I hear. I'm going to tell you something. When God sees and God becomes aware because of your asking, your intercession, get ready. It says, and I've come down to deliver them. When you know that God's aware, you're aware that God's aware, and you know that God hears your prayers, get ready. He's about to step into your present situation and transition you from not enough to more. More than enough. Hannah had a similar experience. She had a period of barrenness in her life, and she goes to cry out to the Lord, and the priest is so backslidden, he can't even discern what's going on in her life. She's interceding and praying, and the Bible says her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. She was in such deep travail and intercession. Hallelujah. Now, if she was living in the New Testament, we'd get her filled with the Holy Ghost, and she could be getting... Well, anyway, she was... Look at this. And Eli, the high priest, looked at her, and here's his depth of spiritual discernment. He says, "Woman, put away your wine." He thought she was drunk. But she wasn't drunk like he supposed. She was in deep travail. God hears those who will bring those things that bother you, that concern you, those accusations, those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings of less than enough. When you tell God about it, how many know you're not going to shock God? He already knows. Don't try to be like the first Adam and Eve. Don't try to hide from God. Just give it to God. Tell him about it. And so here she is, she's praying, and it says in 1 Samuel 1, 12, 13, "And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. But when she said to Eli, 'No, your maidservant is in travail of prayer,' he said, as a backslidden priest, he said, 'Go your way, the Lord has heard your petition.'" And immediately everything changed. She wasn't eating, now she's eating. She wasn't worshiping, now she's worshiping. Why? Did she have a baby? No, but she had a promise. See, sometimes you're waiting for the baby. God's giving you the promise, and you need to understand that he's heard your supplication, he's heard your prayer, and then you have to be patient. But when you got a promise, it's just like you've already got the fulfillment. Or it should be. I want you to see this, because he says to us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And by the way, even if Eli couldn't hear her prayer, God did. God did. It says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask of him, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." First of all, we need to be aware that God's aware. And secondly, we need to lift up our intercession to the Lord in prayer. Thirdly, this is keys unlocking this path of transition. But I get real excited about this third one, because she named her third son Levi. And this is what it means. "Now, this time, my husband will be attached to me." I'm going to say some things. The Holy Spirit he just downloaded this morning. I want you to hear this. She was not satisfied with being productive. She wanted to be loved. I want y'all to just remember that statement. She wasn't satisfied with being fruitful. She desired to be loved. She desired for her husband to be attached to her. She understands that this is an important key to transition. She reveals to us the importance of being and remaining attached. She wanted to be embraced by her husband's love. And I thought, "Lord, why are you downloading that this morning?" I'm going over our time together, and I'm thinking, why are you downloading that? And it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, "Many people in my kingdom are satisfied with productivity, but they haven't longed for my embrace." Do I need to say it over here? Many people in my kingdom are satisfied with productivity. Look what we've accomplished. But they've missed the embrace of attachment. Now, I know it's quiet because that was heavy, wasn't it? But we need to understand it's more than doing stuff for God. It's about learning to love God and have within us this desire of doing more than just building the kingdom, but embracing the King. I must be attached to him. See, I not only want him attached to me, I want to be attached to him. Roxanne Brent said this, and this is a name you probably don't even know. Most people don't remember Roxanne. She was a wonderful Bible teacher. She said this one time, "You can get so busy with the work of the Lord that you can forget the Lord of the work." Applicable to what we're saying today is that you can get so busy doing stuff for God and being productive and fruitful that if you're not careful, you don't have the longing for attachment. That intimacy with God. Because it's in that place of intimacy with God where you actually learn that He loves you. It's in that place, and that, please hear me, it goes beyond that. It's in that place that you learn that He not only loves you, but here's a good revelation, He likes you. Now, let me help you. Let me explain. How many of you have ever heard someone say this to you? "I love you with the love of the Lord." Have you ever heard, "I love you with the love of the Lord"? What are they saying? "I can't stand you, but because I'm saved, I got to say this." Right? But what we have to understand, people that say stuff like that, they're saying it. They may not like the person, but they know I got to love them, go to heaven. I got to love them. But in this case, she not only wanted her husband to reproduce, I mean, she wanted more than being feel like she was being used. She wanted to feel like she was loved. She wanted to feel like she mattered. She wanted to feel like she was attached. And I'm telling you what, in the body of Christ, you and I must not settle for being productive, although that's important. But we must go beyond that to say, "I want to be more than productive. I want to be loved. I want to know that you're attached to me and I am attached to you." And you have to be tenacious about that. You have to say, "I want to be attached to Him. I want to go to levels of intimacy with God that I've never gone before." I may know that for all of us, no matter how long we've walked with God, there are new depths and new heights to experience in the presence of the living God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." You can be productive by abiding in the vine. "Neither can you unless you abide in me." I'm the vine. "You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me," simply put, "you can do nothing." We're coming into the springtime. That's why I've got this. I mean, coming into springtime, trees are budding. How many have ever seen a tree in the springtime that didn't lose all of its leaves? It's still got a few old dead leaves hanging on. And you look at it, that's ugly. UGLY, it's got no alibi. It's ugly. You think, "I've got an option here. I can go get a long pole and knock off those dead leaves so it don't look so ugly, or I can just rest." And if I rest, guess what? The new life within the tree will push off the dead leaves and bring fresh leaves. See, here's what religion does. It tries to take a pole and knock all the dead leaves off your life. That's not the secret. The secret is letting the new life that's within you push off the old. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I want to possess this desire. I want this determined resolve within me. I'm going to remain attached to Him regardless of what happens. I remind you of the story. Some of you knew, you may not have heard it, but I remind you of the story. Sherry and I, our daughter lost 3 babies in 18 months. And the last one was actually born. We had to have the funeral and the whole deal. And I remember going to the place where I hunted. This may sound strange to you, but I went to the place where I hunted, and I shut the iron gate behind me, and I sat in my Jeep, and I said this, "This changes nothing." I said, "Lord, I love you. And I will always love you. I don't understand what's going on in my life right now, and I'm hurt. I'm hurt for my baby. I'm hurt for her loss. I'm hurt, God. I don't understand this, but know this. I will not be angry at you. I will not question you. And I determined to love you no matter what. What was I saying? You've been attached to me, and I'm going to be tenacious about remaining attached to you. Someone in this room needs to hear. You need to quit. Listen, someone in this room needs to hear. You need to quit throwing tantrums and saying, I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit serving God. I'm going to quit doing everything. You're becoming unattached. You need to get a pure resolve in your life that no matter what comes down the road, God's aware about it. He hears it. He's attached to me, and I must be tenacious about staying attached to him. Her fourth son, she named Judah. And she says, now I will praise the Lord. How many know that's a principle that needs to be in our lives all the time? Why? Because the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue in the good times and in the bad times and in the in-between times. I'm going to praise the Lord. So I sat in that Jeep and I said, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. You said, man, you're crazy. I may be crazy, but I tell you what, I'm an overcomer. Oh, don't be deceived. I had a few choice words for the devil too. Like he can go back where he come from and I'm going to make him pay. See, here's what the enemy would try to do in a situation like that. Doubt your ministry, doubt your effectiveness, doubt your self-worth, become unattached, pull away. How many know Christians are like cars? They usually start missing before they quit. And all the mechanics in the group said, amen, praise God. Come on, man. Quit telling everybody you're going to quit. You're never going to be more than enough, and you're always going to be less than enough when you don't have the bulldog tenacity to say, no matter what comes, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to rejoice God, and I'm going to praise God. You have to see that importance of praise in the transition, because most people are waiting for the battle to be completely over when God says, that's not when you sing. You sing before the battle ever begins. You sing during the battle. And then you realize something about the battle. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. And when you praise him, you're giving him permission to intervene in your situation. Jehoshaphat is a perfect example of that. He was surrounded by kings all around. And he said, God, who do I send first? He said, send Judah. What do I arm them with? God, sword, shield, buckler? What? He said, no, just give them a song. What if you were in the army that day? And you happen to be in the regiment of Judah. And they said, guys, go out. We're going against the enemy. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to sing. I'd say, what? Huh? And he sent them out with a song. And you know what the song was? The Lord is good. And his mercy. We're facing overwhelming odds here, God. This is an obstacle that could very well take us out. Some of you may be facing obstacles that you may feel could take you out, but I'm going to give you help here. He said, go out and sing this song. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. They kept singing it over and over and over again. If I don't get an amen from the worship leader here, I'm going to have words with him. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all are concerned that they sang that chorus five times. Wonder how many times they sang this chorus before they got there. You know why they sang the chorus over and over again? Because when they started out, they were singing and looking around thinking, oh, my goodness. But then they got their eyes off of looking around and started listening to what they were singing. They started listening to what come out of their mouth, and they realized it could drop down in their heart. And what the change was their focus. I'm telling you, praise will change your focus. It'll change your focus from your obstacles to the God who can do something about your obstacles, and you realize that no matter what I'm going through, hey, God is good, and his mercy endures forever. You have to understand something. I like good Holy Ghost services. Don't misunderstand me. I want to serve a God that I can feel, because I was created with feelings, and I believe he wants me to experience him in my emotions. I'm not saying anything negative about that. But if you're waiting on a feeling to praise him, you're sadly missing the point. Because we understand that our praise is not based on our feelings. It's not based on our emotions. It's not based on our circumstances. No, no, no. Our praise is based in the character and the faithfulness of God. Thus far, God has helped me. So every new obstacle I face, I realize He brought me through the last one, and the one before that, and the one before that, and the one before that. And guess what? He's going to take me through this one as well. So here are the keys that God gave Leah as a revelation. I think to us too, as the body of Christ. That if you want to overcome those feelings of not enough, productivity is very important in your life. You need to reproduce yourself. Because when God saw she was unloved, He stepped in and she started producing and reproducing herself. That's very important. But we need to know that God is aware. Just do it consciously. I know you're aware of it. Say it to Him. And then bring your petition. He's not only aware, He hears. But no matter what happens, you stay attached to Him because you know He's attached to you. Don't get so overwhelmed by being productive that you forget to embrace the King in His love. And at all times, praise Him.